My name is Dimitri Blondel. I manage a very large managed services organization for my company, Unify Square. This is my colleague, Arun.
Good evening. Thank you for coming. My name is Arun Raghavan. I'm Vice President of Engineering for Unify Square, and happy to share with you today our experiences managing large global enterprises.
Yeah. So it's the last session of the day, so I just want to gauge a little bit where everyone is in their journey towards Skype for Business, their journey towards the cloud. Welcome, dear customers. just a quick show of hands. Who's running Skype or Link or OCS or LCS internally? Yeah, everyone, that's no surprise. Who's doing conferencing, including dial-in conferencing? Most of you as well, cool. Who's doing enterprise voice? Perfect, everyone. So there's gonna be no terms that you don't understand that are unfamiliar to you. Who still has energy after like 3 days and at the end of the day to answer questions, to challenge us, to sing some songs if things get boring? Yeah, okay, cool. My Dutch friends again. So as Arun just briefly explained, we are in the business of making Skype for Business successful for very large accounts. You should think about typically Fortune 500 accounts with 25,000 seats and upwards. Today we want to share a few experiences with you, some stuff that we learned throughout the years, and give you some ideas of the challenges we encountered and how we solved them. It's not more and not less than that, the goal of this session. Quick logistics, we're going to have some time left towards the end to ask questions, so we're going to run through a few scenarios. I think it's going to be very interesting to listen until the end, and please remember your questions, and I would like to ask you to ask them towards the end of the presentation. First things first. This thing doesn't work. It does work. First things first, cars. So let's compare cars with Skype for Business. So I'm going to tell you a little story. A couple of years back, I moved from my native Belgium to the Pacific Northwest to a little town called Redmond, which may be familiar to some of you in the audience. There's a couple of things I noticed when I arrived in Redmond, and one thing was that there were a lot more fancy supercars than there are in Brussels, Belgium. So it's not uncommon on a Sunday to see a Bugatti followed by a Lamborghini. Second thing I noticed is that there are a lot of very, 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 very bad drivers in the Pacific Northwest, so which is a bit of a problem. If you combine both things together, it's a recipe for disaster. But after all, there's not that many incidents, there's not that many accidents. So I was thinking about this whole thing, and I'm thinking that these car owners actually rely a lot on instrumentation. They rely a lot on what their dashboard is telling them. They rely a lot on smart technologies such as blind spot assist and adaptive cruise control and all that kinds of fancy stuff that I certainly don't have in my car to avoid all these accidents. And actually, our experience with these large accounts has taught us that driving Skype for Business, operating Skype for Business, actually also requires a lot of instrumentation. And many of you have probably seen the excellent presentation by Gurdip Pal the first day, where he showed the very shiny standard dashboard for Skype Online. We're going to build on that and some of our own technology to explain to you how you can use your dashboard, how you can use your instrumentation to actually make your Skype for Business users happy users. So that is the analogy that allowed me to show you a supercar. So now Arun is going to explain a little bit what our company does before we go into these case studies, because that's also of interest to you, obviously. So over to Arun.
Yes, thanks, Dimitri. And I should mention that Dimitri was actually struck by a car about a couple of weeks ago, and so this is, I think, why he chose this analogy here and talking about bad drivers versus good drivers. So, So PowerSuite is our Skype for Business operating software. It is essentially a SaaS-based offering. It features monitoring, troubleshooting, reporting, provisioning, analytics, and the core difference, I think, the differentiator that we bring to the table here, you know, comparing when we think about operating Skype for Business, is our focus on the end user experience. So as we talk to the case studies today and we talk through some of the experiences, we'll share why we think that that our particular emphasis on end user experience is a differentiator, and how that can actually be, you know, drive successful outcomes in your deployments as well. So that's something that we will share. So our solution set with Skype for Business today features 13 different solutions. We'll give you a flavor of some of those solutions today as we go through our talk. And then we're rapidly expanding that current set out to about 20 solutions by the end of the calendar year, 2017. And I should also mention that goes into things like device provisioning, you know, for Polycom phones, for Yealink, et cetera. So essentially spanning the entire spectrum of Skype for Business operations, the entire life cycle, if you will. And we also, today we have that support for our on-premises customers, but we are also going to be extending that into the cloud. So you're going to be able to use PowerSuite seamlessly to operate a hybrid environments and manage your on-premise assets as well as your, you know, your sort of cloud-hosted users. So with that, PowerSuite essentially forms the core of the automation behind our managed services, which Dimitri will talk to you about.
Yeah, just a few words, because you're here to learn about how to operate Skype for Business, not to learn about our company. But it's important to explain to you that I run an organization. There's actually humans operating Skype for Business on behalf of our large enterprise customers. And we use the dashboard that you see below to make sure that everything is running smoothly. So we came up with this dashboard, which is called the 3 KPI story, where to the left you see the number of poor calls, the overall number of poor calls and conferences in an organization over time. We came up with a KPI which we call service availability, which is different to service availability as you thought of it in the era of, for example, PBXs, where you would measure a box, is it on? Yes. If it's down, it's down, right? It's not a binary thing. We actually measure through synthetic transactions, all components and all scenarios of your whole Skype for Business deployment, and measure overall service availability. And we're also very big on user satisfaction. So we measure user satisfaction and make sure that all these things are in line with the expectations of the service owner, of the service manager. And again, our main focus is on these really large enterprises you see up on the screen there. So one more shout out to Ali Rouhani and maybe Brian Nice. I have done a few sessions this week around the Skype operations framework, which is a set of best practices on how to operate, operate, plan, and deliver for Skype for Business. All of our services are 100% aligned with the Skype operations framework. And we have one of the very few launch offerings that has been launched as part of this conference, which is called Power Assurance Special Edition. So without further ado, we're going to dive into a few very specific cases that we've experienced with our customers, and give you a few ideas on how you could manage those challenges. So it's mostly about end users, as Arun explained earlier. So in my job, what I noticed in the past couple of years is that my customers used to focus on infrastructure. How do all these things fit together? Where are the bits and bytes that make these things work? Where are all the network streams that we need to monitor to make sure that everything works correctly? Nowadays, when I talk to my customers, it's more about how do I keep my users happy? How do I provide a perfect service to my end user? So it's basically a shift from infrastructure-centered approach to user-centric approach. That's one of the first big themes that we're going to approach. Then there's a second question that I'm a managed services guy, so I think in terms of SLAs. So SLAs is probably something that all of you are confronted with. So maybe another show of hands. Do you offer some kind of SLA to your end user or to your customers? Who does? Everyone? Many of those SLAs traditionally were based on owning the end-to-end infrastructure. You know, from the network over all the equipment to the endpoints, everything was under one department. That's not the case anymore today. So how do you deal with these voice quality? How do you deal with these availability SLAs? We're going to talk a little bit about that, how we approach that challenge. Then something that a lot of you guys are probably confronted with is these top-down escalations. You know, the CFO calls the CIO, and the CIO calls the infrastructure manager. The infrastructure manager needs to solve a problem because the CFO was not happy because he did an investor call from some airport over LTE data, right? That's something that probably some of you have already experienced. That leads me into another topic that is very big, and that is network issues. So the network is not one uniform thing anymore. It is this carrier mobile data network. It is probably partner or customer networks. It's your own network. It's wireless network. It's maybe some rented or leased furnished office network. So it's a very complex issue. How do you deal with that? How do you provide an end-to-end solution to that? And then the final topic that we're going to approach today is about gremlins in the system, as one of our customers called it. And gremlins in the systems, I don't know if you still remember the movie the Gremlins. It's when everything goes smoothly, everything is nice, everybody's happy, and then suddenly after midnight somebody pours a glass over something and everything goes south. Everything goes wrong. We're going to show you how you can detect those gremlins. How we can tell which components go evil over time, right? So our first case study is about voice quality. Again, end-user focused. And it's based on an actual story, a story that we lived through with one of our smaller customers in North America. They've got about 1,500 end-users. They've got a few sites in North America, they've got a site in China, they've got a few sites in Africa as well. And they are a perfect customer. They have like a perfectly managed network, perfectly managed Wi-Fi. They've got perfectly managed user support. When we measure our three KPIs, their service availability is outstanding, their voice quality is almost perfect. And still, a couple of months ago, there was a big crisis. The CIO wanted to kick Skype for Business out because it sucked. Sorry, excuse my language. He wanted to kick it out because nothing ever worked and his FaceTime was much better than this Skype thing that he was forced to work with. So, big crisis. And we actually went to look for the reasons why using a few methods that Arun is now going to explain to you.
Yes, thanks, Dimitri. So, as Dimitri said, when we look at a system, we generally gauge its health of the system based on our three KPIs, right? So what's the service availability, what's the voice quality, and what's the user satisfaction? And in all these three cases, those three KPIs turned out to be all green. And so what we ended up doing is, so we said, well, let's do something. Let's look at the user perspective on things. And so we sorted the users based on, the users had faced the worst poor quality calls. So we looked at all the users. We took the top, users who had the highest percentage, if you will, of poor calls, and then we looked at those particular users. Now, we've got a really good solution here to look at on an individual user basis. So when we look at a particular user, we can bring up what we call actionable recommendations that any even a non-trained help help desk user very quickly looking at this can provide some valuable insights and end user actionable recommendations. So I'm going to show you how we did some of those. So in this particular case, I've got a user here that had a conference call. And you can see there, you know, based on all that green there, there's a lot of participants who called into this conference call. And it all looks, we have a method where we're looking at different metrics. So we're looking at client versions, we're looking at devices, whether they're supported, they're unsupported. We're looking at the means of connectivity, whether it's Wi-Fi, wired, et cetera. And we're basically pulling up a very quick report here that happens within, you know, within a fraction of seconds to say, where do we think the issues are in a particular call. So in this particular case, you see that I have a red indicator here for this particular user. And when I click on that as a help desk person or someone who's looking at the user's information, I can see that it tells me that the user called in using wireless connectivity. And in many cases, wireless connectivity is known to have an issue, especially for enterprises that haven't, for example, upgraded their Wi-Fi infrastructure. And so it's very easy for us to use this tool, look at the user's experience. And what we did is that we went back to the customer with, you know, on a per-user basis, we went back to the customer and said, look, we've analyzed the 10 users' calls that have had the worst poor call percentage and poorest experience, and here are recommendations, right? So the recommendations ranged from, we believe that the user used unsupported devices most of the time. We believe that the user was connected using Wi-Fi, poor Wi-Fi connectivity, et cetera. And so those actionable recommendations we were able to take that and go back and resolve the situation. And on the top there is what I call the heat signature. So if you look at that, you'll see for this particular user that's there's hardly any green. So this user has actually had poor and bad calls. Every single call of the user has not been a good call. It's been poor and bad. And when we analyze the situation, we realize that a large part of that is because of the network connectivity. And combined with that, then there's the user also using unsupported devices. So you know, we've gone back with those two. Those are, if you will, some of the easiest or low-hanging fruit to go after. But in this particular case, we've got an approach where we've, while the entire system looks healthy, we've identified that there's some user-specific actions that can be taken. And so that's essentially what we did. You'll also note that in this case, we can go beyond, you know, we can do some advanced analysis. So in some situations, actually, we can detect where you know, for example, here we've had a TCP protocol being used instead of UDP, and you know that that's going to cause delays. So you'll have no packet loss, but you'll have a lot of delays, round trips, and latency. So these are some examples of where, using our help desk solution, we've been able to help enterprises with their end user experience.
Yeah, thanks, Arun. But what if you have not 1,500 users, like in this example, but you have actually 150,000 users? That approach wouldn't really scale to look at individual users, right?
Yes, and that's exactly right. So how do we take this approach and scale it to 100,000 user enterprise, 180,000, 200,000 user enterprise? What we found is when you look at, you know, let's take an example, 100,000 user enterprise. When we look at the distribution of poor voice quality, or for that matter, anything, whether it's application failures or whether it's you know conference join issues, etc., we found that it follows some sort of a curve, right? So when you look at the 100,000 users, what we found empirically is 30% of the users would have some non-zero failure rate or non-zero voice quality or non-zero poor calls, etc. And when we broke that down further, so that's why you see imagine that lower end there was 100,000 user. For each user, there's a data point. So you'll see that there's a large cluster there to the left, and that signifies that's just 30% of the 100,000 users. So now from a 100,000 user enterprise, you've gone to 30,000 users having some sort of issue. And then when we sliced that further, we discovered that it's a bit like this 80-20 rule. We discovered that sort of somewhere between the 20% of the users have had most of those types of voice quality issues or failures, et cetera. So when you cut that down, it now becomes a very manageable number. Now it becomes users that are, for 100,000 user enterprise, it's somewhere in the range of 1,000 users or so, 1,400 give or take, in this particular example that we can actually do some user analysis on. So we've sort of taken that from 100,000. If you look at it, it's sort of down to a 1% range that we can manage. So this, the approach that we have is scalable from that perspective.
So another example, one of our customers is spread all over the globe, and they usually have like very small pockets of people sitting in remote locations. They've got, for example, offices in countries that are very hard to reach, in countries which have very unreliable network, in countries with Chinese walls around them, soon probably countries with actual walls around them. And then it becomes a pretty hard thing to manage to keep under control. So in this case, I have a customer who has like 4, 5, 6 user branch offices in countries like Thailand, in Indonesia, in Vietnam, in China, in places where network connectivity and even PSTN connectivity is pretty unreliable. So as a service provider, you need to monitor your customer Skype for Business. And it becomes a very costly affair if you have to ship equipment there, if you have to ship probes there, if you have to ship engineers there to implement actual network monitoring tools. And that was a big problem for us in the early days of our service. And Arun's team has actually found a solution for that, which is cost effective and very efficient.
So here we're going to talk about a monitoring solution, essentially, which is a proactive end user availability monitoring system. So essentially what it is it's performing synthetic transactions 24/7. It's simulating some end user behavior. And as a result of that, it's able to detect issues before end users hit them. But we're also able to provide root cause analysis, et cetera. One of the things that we want to touch upon today is the fact that since this is a cloud-based service, we're monitoring thousands of endpoints, enterprises that have thousands of users homed on them. And as a result of this, whenever we see outages, whenever we see a signature or failure, et cetera, we can apply those learnings back to other customers as well. So that's something that is another differentiator on our platform. What I'm showing you here today is you can see the service availability, and you can see, for example, there's a dip in availability. So this availability was 99.1.2, then dipped below, and then went back up to the 90s again. And so this is something, this is an indicator where we've actually been monitoring a particular customer's system, and we detected some failures, right? So how we do this is with our synthetic monitoring. And essentially, if there's one thing that you do, if there's one thing, with all the different tools out there, with all the different, you've got SCOM, you've got network tools, et cetera, if there's one thing that you can do, it's to set up this monitoring service. Because within minutes, you can get this set up. Since it's a hosted platform, there is no on-premise installation. We are monitoring the from an end user's perspective, we are monitoring the availability of the system, and you can get alerts. And in fact, Dimitri's team, our managed services team, for a large number of our customers, is actually actively monitoring them and even fixing issues even before the customers has noticed them. And so our approach with the synthetic transactions and sort of a probe-less based approach is a key differentiator here. And I'm going to show you a little bit about how that works. So here's an example of, as you can see here, a very large global scale customer has got, these are the kind of rules that are set up in the system. As you can see right now, there's no high priority incident, so the availability is at 100%. But you can see, for example, over here, when we've had, in the past, we've had some outages. There's a ticket number there. That's what our managed services team reacts to instantly. Whenever there's an outage, gets in there, remedies the issue, and then resolves availability back to 100%. And so the reason I'm showing you this, I want to give you a flavor for the fact that we have a very efficient way of setting up a minimum number of rules that ensures that you have maximum coverage over your system. And that's done through our monitoring service in the cloud. Another thing that I wanted to point out is that we also have the ability here to annotate. So whenever we detect issues, we send an email, but we are also able to annotate in the system here, when there was an outage, why there was an outage, and any sort of details around that. And we also are able to provide some quality. We also provide some information on voice quality. The case study we started talking about is where we discovered there was a voice quality issue on a carrier side. And the way we do that is because we have these synthetics operating 24/7, these synthetics are placing calls that are simulating end user calls. And whenever we see a drop in voice quality, we're going to alert on that. And so we found very often that we've discovered there's packet loss issues, et cetera, from a provider side that the customer themselves didn't know about, but was detected by our system in this fashion over here. I'll also just touch upon briefly that since we're talking about availability of the system, the system also has something that we call major incident alerts. So when we're looking at the overall availability of the system, every now and then there may be a gateway that goes down. But whenever you have a systemic outage, when you have, when there's a whole region or there's availability of the system drops below a certain key threshold, then we have the ability to send a critical alert that indicates that there's something major going on in the system. And we've seen that to be very effective as well in large enterprises. Dimitri, back to you.
So thank you, Arun. So in my case, this probeless monitoring has solved a lot of issues. It's actually a very effective way of finding out that there's something wrong in your system without investing too much in all these technologies that require on-site interventions. Now, quick question for you. We briefly touched on SLAs before. Who in this audience offers voice quality SLAs to their end users or to their customers? I would say 2%, just one person. It's actually something very interesting. It's something that customers are really interested in. It's something that end users are very interested in because it's what makes or breaks a call. So if you're on a conference and people are just talking to each other, people are just leaving the meeting because people are not hearing what they want to hear. It's something very important. It's something very important for the perception of the end user of the overall system. And we've seen major, major deployments that were very well prepared, very well delivered, very well deployed, and then failed because of this end user perception. Now, just another question. Does anyone have a target for like poor voice quality calls in their network? Do you have an idea of how many calls are actually flagged as poor? Does anyone want to volunteer that information? Is it 1%? Is it 10%? No volunteers? Sorry? 5%? 5%? That sounds pretty reasonable. So what we do as a managed services company is when we go into a customer, we work with the customer to define these SLAs. And it kind of depends on the business of the customer. It depends on the criticality of the service. It depends on the size and complexity of the enterprise, where those thresholds are situated. The reason why we are able to offer SLAs to our customers and actually have some skin in the game is because we base ourselves on averages and we base ourselves on benchmarks that we learned throughout the years. And Arun is actually going to share a few of those benchmarks that could act as a starting point for you to actually create those SLAs with your end users. So we're going to talk about two different types of SLAs, but we're going to focus mostly on voice quality SLAs.
If you can forward the slide. So as we talked about, because we have a cloud-based platform here, we're also able to provide some benchmarks because we're actually able to aggregate some data, anonymized data, and then provide some information on an aggregate level. So here's a sampling, if you will, of overall voice quality. So this is, think about all the calls in the enterprise, and we'll talk about later how we break those down into different categories. We break them down from overall voice quality to internal calls to external calls, et cetera. But the key number that, there's one of the key high-level numbers that somebody's interested in is what is the overall voice quality, right? And so what we found is our benchmark here, which is the just looking at the average over all the customers here, the average tends to be, for overall voice quality, tends to be about 2.14%. And here's a sampling of some of the customer sizes versus the poor call percentage. And you can see here there's not much correlation here between the size of the enterprise. You do have some larger size enterprises that have higher poor call percentage, but you can see that it's fairly distributed across the board here. But the reason that we do that is because we have this benchmark now, it's in some sense it's easy for us to figure out where an enterprise, how healthy an enterprise is relative to what we see in the industry. So it's like, when you get a blood report, you have certain indications and markers, and they give you what's a normal operating range for certain markers. And so this is how we can actually provide more value to customers by saying, look, we see your poor call percentage in this range. This is what we believe the benchmark is for overall poor call percentage, and you're either higher or lower by either significant amount, et cetera. So that's something that we provide. Now, I'm going to also show you another benchmark here, which is wireless internal. So this is looking at all, the first benchmark was overall poor call percentage for all the calls in the enterprise. And this one is specifically taking the wireless internal, so looking at all the calls that were made internally over Wi-Fi. And you can see actually that the benchmark starts increasing here because actually there's a higher percentage of poor calls. So as somebody said, close to 5%, that's pretty close in terms of the Wi-Fi internal here as we see as a benchmark. And here actually is where we see a little bit of a correlation where the larger enterprises tend to have a much higher percentage of wireless internal calls here. And so now I'll switch a little bit to how we can use our system. So here, what I'm showing you is what we call service health in our PowerSuite system. And what I'm, as an illustration here, showing you a large global enterprise here, several hundred sites across the world. What I've chosen to highlight here is the wireless, is the wired internal to server category. So looking at the calls from a wired internal to server or a wireless internal to server, we've basically taken those different categories and broken them down. So at the top, you can see the overall percentage here. This is the overall percentage for this demo customer or target customer, if you will. And you can see the overall percentage. You can see that we have a target, which is 2%, but the overall percentage is sort of creeping or climbing towards that target. And we're able to set different thresholds here based on when to be warned or when it should be a warning threshold or a critical threshold. So when we look at the wired internal to server, which is one I hovered upon here, we can see many different sites. So this is a global company. For example, over here, if you see that you have a lot of sites that have a warning threshold. So they've exceeded the warning threshold. They haven't gone into the red zone yet. But this particular map gives you a heat map of which sites are poor, good, etc. And then you can drill down into that particular site. You can also drill down into a particular site by clicking on the sites over here. So in this case, what we're showing you is for an enterprise, we are able to compute this site level poor call percentage. And you know, just tying back to what Dimitri said before, if you do have to provide anything in terms of service level availability numbers, or if you want to manage your site, you know, site SLAs or availability in terms of a voice quality perspective, we have this ability to show you the based on a site level, you know, based at the site level, you can see the poor call percentage. Now, one thing that I like to do here is you can see that the red line number is the number that indicates the poor call percentage. And then we've got this over time. So we're computing this on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, et cetera. And so you can see whether there's been any spikes in the system. And so you can see, for example, on this particular site, generally has been pretty good in that 1% range. And so again, going back to a lot of times we'll have customers ask us, well, what's a good poor call percentage? Because many times a customer won't know you know, what's considered a poor call percentage. And this is how, and because of the system we have, we can provide that guidance based on both an industry perspective, which is the industry benchmark, as well as within a company, we can provide benchmarks for the, you know, what's the average within the company. And so that you can have that relative grading, if you will. Another thing that I want to highlight here is we can also have You can also view that as a list, so you can look at the different sites, look at the voice quality there, and that's sort of stack ranked over here. Now, what you'll observe here is you might see, if you can see the number from back there, but you know, you'll see some percentages that are higher than other percentages, but they come lower in the list. Now, the reason for that is we actually do a lot of data analysis behind the scenes. And so if we just go by percentage, for example, if you had two calls at a site and one was bad, that's 50%. So we don't just go by percentage. We actually look at the volume of calls. We look at the percentage. We look at three or four different other factors. And then we rank these sites here based in the order that we think that you should prioritize sort of resolving issues at the site. So these this is how we are able to help enterprises manage the site, you know, especially when you're looking at a large number of sites, how do they manage that voice quality across that large number of sites? So that's something that, that's how we are able to do that with the system. So Dimitri, back to you for...
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for hanging in there towards the end of the day, day three. Another question for you. Do you have any idea how many different client versions you have on your Skype for Business network? Like, approximately? Who dares? I was misleading some of my customers yesterday in the hope that they would shout out their number, but they know me too well. So what we see, it's actually a very surprising number. That's why I'm asking you the question. Well, we see with some of our biggest customers with the longest history in Skype for Business, Link, OCS, LCS, and whatever came before, we see up to 2,000 different client versions connecting to a single Skype for Business environment. And I see a lot of very surprised faces because there are not even 2,000 client versions, you would think. But actually there are, because there's every cumulative update, every patch changes the client version number and also changes some of the dynamics of connecting to your infrastructure. The point I'm trying to make is that there's actually a surprising amount of information in Skype for Business that you're not aware of. Is this a problem? Not necessarily. It could be a problem if there are some very binding SLAs from your first line help desk to support each and every different version. The point that I'm making is that there's sometimes very surprising information in the system. And Arun is going to show you a few ways of getting that information out of the Skype for Business platform.
So one of the things we do, again, back to our solution set here, is what we call the Call Explorer. And What I've done to illustrate what Dimitri said is I've looked at a very narrow range here. Actually, it looks within a day or so. And just within that one day, you can see that there's a whole different range of client versions being used, even in the one day. And then when we expand that out and we start to look at a week or a month level, what we found is that typically in a large enterprise, you'd find something like 200, 300 different client versions out there. Now, first of all, that's something that you may not be aware of, there's this proliferation of client versions. B, we tend to see that when there are some client versions, we've actually seen issues where, for example, you have someone using a Surface device, and there was a particular patch where for folks that were using a Surface device, application sharing would fail. So we can actually use this tool to find the signature, which is people who have a certain version of the Skype for Business version on a Surface device, look for those particular users, and then actually inform them proactively that, hey, you know what, it's possible that application sharing is going to fail if you're using this device. And so the power here, again, going back to that end user experience theme that we talked about, so while a lot of enterprises focus on the networks and the servers, our perspective is also is a large part of our perspective is the end user. And so this is why a lot of things that we do is targeted towards the end user, especially this proactive reaching out to the user and saying, hey, you know what, we've seen this issue before, we believe you're going to run into it, and letting the users know before they actually run into that issue.
So as Arun mentioned, one of the topics also is there's not only all these different client versions, but there's also all kinds of different devices that can connect to Skype for Business. Obviously, there's all the phones, there's all the Androids, all the Windows phones, all the iPhones. There's all these different desk phones. There's the Surface. There's the Link Room system. So how do you keep that under control? How do you manage that? How do you even know which kind of devices are connecting to your infrastructure? And how do you know which ones are causing problems?
So that's again, going back to the theme that we talked about before, which is the end user theme. And there's a few case studies there that we have. So what I'm showing you here is just looking at the solution here. What I've done is I've looked at the different devices. So in this case, it's actually capture devices, which is essentially the microphone, and looking at the echo send percentage on this. And so what you have here is all the bars that you see up there are the different devices out there that people are using, and then the numbers that you see there is the actual average echo send percentage. And you can see here, in this case, I should probably increase the zoom level on this. Let me see if that works. You can actually see here that in the built-in microphone actually has the highest echo send percentage. So you actually have your empirical evidence that for users that are using a built-in microphone, they're going to actually they're going to actually result in inserting echo on calls and then essentially leading to a bad experience, especially on whatever calls they're on, whether they're conference calls, etc. So that's something that we can actually not just not only look at the devices there, but we can also drill into that and then look at the users that have use those devices. And then again, as I talked about previously, outreach to those users. We also have a method here where what we call Insight Center that we're going to be shipping shortly. What the Insight Center does is look for certain patterns in an environment. And going back to our previous theme here, because we're cloud-based, we look for certain patterns at a particular environment, and then we're also able to do that across different customer environments. So what you're seeing here is this percentage of calls that are using unoptimized device. So in this case, we've breached the threshold. We think that at an enterprise, there should be Again, this is enterprises will come to us and say what we think that number is, and we're able to provide that number because we do this benchmarking. In this particular case, 30% is over the benchmark threshold. We've highlighted that there's a higher number of calls that are using unoptimized devices, and we've also got the number of users that are using the unoptimized devices. And then we are able to, once you click into that, you're able to get to the actual list of users that are using unoptimized devices. And in this case, we can actually export this out and then contact and have the IT teams contact these users. Now, what we're also working on is to do this in an automatic fashion. So what we call the end user feedback loop, which is automatically reach out to these users because we've detected that they've either used an unsupported device, et cetera, and then automatically reach out to users in a manner that isn't sort of disruptive or, it's sort of a gentle, hey, we noticed, that you've been using an unsupported device, and provide some guidance on how they can sort of get back to a supported device. So we have some different examples of this where we've worked with customers looking at the user experiences. For example, we've had one case where a customer had a lot of mobile phone usage, especially they had a lot of users that were using mobile phones with voice over IP that were and especially in buildings that had either poor Wi-Fi connectivity or they'd roam from one building to the other, and calls would either drop or be really, really bad voice quality. And so we've actually been able to work with those enterprises, with those users, and through user education, both a combination of user education and in some cases on a systemic level, inserting things like a client version control or turning off voice over IP on a mobile phone, et cetera, we've been able to influence end user outcomes that way.
Thank you, Arun. So final topic of the day, because we will very soon be competing with beer, and there's no way of winning a competition against beer in my book. My gremlins. This is actually a very interesting case study in a sense that it may be another surprise for you. This is, again, a graph. Looks very geeky, but it points to something very interesting. This is a graph of failed conference joins. So a drop in availability in terms of conference joins. But what's happening here is, this is, again, a large customer, around 80,000 users. At a given moment in time, 2 out of 100 calls, or conference connects were failing. What happens if 2 out of 100 conference connects are failing? For you personally, you're just going to retry, right? You're not going to pick up your phone and call the help desk and report the problem. You're just going to retry. It's going to succeed. You're going to carry on. By actually looking at your dashboard and at your instrumentation, you can notice some stuff that is actually really frustrating for people. Because if you have to retry even only 2 out of 100 conference joins, you're going to get frustrated and blame the system, and it's all bad, and IT sucks, and we don't want to work with this tool anymore. We want to use our FaceTime, right? That's how these things work. If you have an eye on your instrumentation, you actually notice that and can do something about it. So technically, this case, it was a very complex issue with a hardware load balancer not directing traffic to the web services on an edge server in certain circumstances. So we had to work actually with the vendor to do some modifications on the firmware to make all this stuff work again and bring availability gradually back over to 100%. And as you can see, it's a pretty recent case. Those things happen all the time. Again, Arun is going to show you a few examples of how you can keep an eye on your instruments and notice these things and intervene and actually increase your user happiness.
So here's an example, as Dimitri talked about before. You probably have a low percentage sometimes of users that actually have experienced an issue and may or may not call in the help desk. And that percentage might be low because maybe you're not rolled out enterprise voice enough, et cetera. But as you start to ramp that up, that percentage is going to increase and those failures are going to increase. What I want to show you here is actually an actual example case study here. And you'll notice that the string of red dots. And what that string of red dots is showing is that each of these dots represents a failure, a synthetic transaction failure from our monitoring system. And what you'll observe is that we found that every day a call would fail one time a day at a particular time, at 2 a.m. in the morning something. And obviously at that point, you may not have end users on the system, they may not be complaining, they may not be calling in, but that 2 a.m. could be 9 a.m., that 2 a.m. could be 10 a.m., you don't know when that could happen. And here's an illustration where, because we had that monitoring system in place, that monitoring system was able to detect this happened every day. And when we dug a little deeper, Dimitri's team actually was involved in this, called up the service provider, found out why that call was, why that particular scenario was failing. We found actually that the service provider was performing maintenance at a particular time, and this wasn't immediately obvious even to the customer. But it's things like this when you put a monitoring system into the mix, and it's starting to check the end-to-end availability of the system. That's when you'll start going back to Dimitri's theme about sort of unearthing all these gremlins in the system. And this is an actual example of where we actually were able to resolve that problem with the service provider, and it was resolved before it became a major incident. Yeah, back to you.
Okay. So, just summarizing what we just explained, we think that Skype for Business is a perfect supercar. Drives very fast. It does everything that you would desire from it. It's actually also very easy to crash it into a lake if you don't keep your eye on your instruments. So our message today was use everything you have, be pragmatic about how you use instrumentation, look a little bit further than just the built-in reports, look at some optional components that will allow you to drive that supercar in a very safe way for you and your surroundings, and you're going to have a good day. If you don't keep your eye on the dashboard, you're going to end up in a lake. So, with that, a quick shout out to our people at the booth. So, Unify Square is at the booth in the expo room where the beer is. We're at booth 711. When you come into the expo, it's slightly to the right. It's one of the bigger and most beautiful booths in the expo. So feel free to drink your beer at the booth this afternoon and tomorrow. And there's a lot of people wearing blue shirts that are ready and happy to provide you with additional information about what we just explained to you, and a lot more. So are there any questions for us in this room that you want to ask in front of everyone? No? So feel free to approach us at the podium as well if you have individual questions. And thank you very much, and have a great evening.
Thank you.